Education and Healthcare Reporting on SDPB is supported by Regional Health, helping patients and communities live well.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Living in rural America can be challenging, but can it be hazardous to your health? Dr. Rick Holm is host of On Call with the Prairie Doc, and he's author of the book Life's Final Season, A Guide for Aging and Dying with Grace. And he joins us every week here on In the Moment for your weekly checkup. Dr. Holm, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Lori. Oh, you're very welcome. My pleasure. I'm sitting in a hotel room in Memphis, Tennessee, because my flights wouldn't take me back to South Dakota last night.
All right. Well, get home safely. People all over the state are having challenges, and many of them could be life-threatening challenges. Some are inconvenient, but there's a lot going on. So let's talk about many of our folks who live in rural areas of the state. Overall, and from the big picture, are there medical dangers to sort of living the rural life?
Well, one danger is traveling and then being stuck in a car in a blizzard in a rural area without help. And that's occurred more often than you know. The major rule is stay in your car. Don't in a blizzard where in the night in particular and you can't find your way, don't go wandering outside. Right, and make sure you point your car into the wind if you can, because exhaust being blown back into the car is a danger.
Right.
So that's one thing. Now let's just set the blizzard aside and talk about access. You know, we have in South Dakota and in this region several very, very highly qualified hospital systems with superb care providers available. But we don't always have them if you live in the rural, tinier towns. And for the most part, we usually have ways to get to from those small places to the medical centers. On a day like this, I remember having somebody slip and slam her head into the cement, and the roads were closed and nothing could get through. And I called the police and they connected me with the highway department, and they sent out a plow, and the ambulance followed the plow all the way down to Sioux Falls. Wow. Saved the lady's life.
Wow. And on a day like today, some of the plows can't even get on the roads. So as the roads soften and that becomes dangerous, the risks heighten.
I you know, you just have to make do where you're at.
Right.
I remember an American Indian PA working in a small community told me this story. He was stuck without being able to transfer a little girl who had head trauma and a subdural bleed, and he drilled the hole in the head to allow the pressure out to save the little girl's life. I mean, you know, sometimes you just get on the phone and you go, what do I do next?
Right.
So those kinds of emergencies are really rare, fortunately.
Right. When I was in college, I worked as a 911 operator. You probably didn't know that. And I remember taking a call, and a two-year-old had fallen out of a window. You know, when they press against the screen and the screen gives way, on the second floor of a rural Minnehaha County farmhouse. And so my job was to stay on the phone and sort of talk the mother through until help could arrive. And that was just the longest conversation of my life. It was so difficult because of how long it took, and there was really not a whole lot that could be done in the meantime other than some basic things.
Yes. Wow. Those are, and I don't care where you are in the world, access to a major medical center is not always available.
Yeah.
Even in the inner cities, the time to get from wherever the accident may have occurred to the emergency room. Sometimes it's longer than it is to get from Brookings to the emergency room in Sioux Falls if you're transferring.
Right.
So you do what you can do. Right. There are other medical dangers, though, that you need to know. And some of them are with farming. I remember 15 years ago, I did a show on the dangers of farming, and farming was listed as number one or number two next to mining as far as dangerous professions. But it is way down on that list now because of the safety efforts that have occurred in farming and in the equipment.
Yeah. What are some of the top dangers today that remain?
Well, in farming, of course, people can fall out of cabs, you know, when things are moving. People can still get caught in the auger type of scenarios, and you have a power turning device in the backside of a tractor that's usually well protected, but sometimes farmers take the protection off because it's so hard to get at it usually. But the problem is those power access things can wrap people up and in their clothing and so on and so forth. So there's dangers out there. And another major danger has to do with exposure to chemicals and to, the kinds of material that they put in the ground out there. You know,
right.
So there are dangers in farming. And I just say, take your time, be careful, do the protections, don't take off the protector devices, and so those kinds of
keep
things.
Keep focused on the big picture, which is we'd like to keep doing that. Well, and of course, we've talked about mental health and farming and the ag industry with the pressures and the stresses and kind of normalizing, you know, are part of this ongoing effort to normalize people talking about those stressors, because many farmers and ranch families don't necessarily want to complain or be seen as complaining. Talk a little bit, if you would, about just the idea of opening up about having health problems and having, chronic stress in your life, the advantages of that.
You think about it. It's one of the most stressful jobs in the world, and that is the what's going to happen next with the weather. You know,
right.
Is the flooding going to prevent the planting this spring? And are we going to get enough moisture through the summer? Everything is unpredictable, and you can't. It's not like a 9-to-5 job. You know, you've got this amount of income coming. It is so unpredictable. You don't know what the prices are going to be. Someone else decides. You know, so the stresses are huge.
Right.
And I think that the biggest problem with guys, men. Are that they don't express themselves. They don't, you know, it's been told to them somewhere that they're supposed to be tough and stoic, and they don't put it out there when they are, when it's all ganging up on them. I think that men and women need to realize that there are people who can help them with those stresses and to help them talk about them. And when the risks, there's the pressures of the stuff that we pay for, all of the equipment that we pay for, and so on and so forth. But none of that has anything close to the value of the lives of the people working there. And so what we need to do is remember how important people's feelings are, how important people's lives are, and not about the farm, the dirt, the tractor, that's stuff. And I know that that's easy for me to say. I was a city guy. I grew up in Deschutes. It's not a city. It's a small town.
Right,
but I mean,
you're a town kid. Yeah. But I want to, before
really
we run out
protective.
Of time, Rick, I want to pivot a little bit and just talk about, because you and I have had so many conversations about some of the things that need to be done for your health And before we make it seem like living in rural South Dakota is the unhealthiest thing you could do, a lot of those things kind of come naturally to a rural lifestyle: exercise and being outside and, you know, being socially connected to other people and meaningful work and, you know, a good lunch at the around the farm table. So there's a lot of things about living in rural South Dakota that are probably far more healthy than a lot of city life. For example, you know, access to restaurants in Sioux Falls is is enough to put your calorie count over on a daily basis for a long time.
No, I, Laura, you're right on the mark, and that is what a joyful life it is to be a farmer. How fortunate it is to have the farm life. How lucky people are to be able to have the outside exercise joy of independence that people have with farming. So that's why they do it.
Right.
And so there's pluses and minuses to every job, but we've got to look at the pluses, and that's how you get through the tough times, the harder times. And so it's a joy to talk about rural life, because it's part of what my dad said: you're not playing baseball, you're going to work on the farm with Floyd Myers. And so that's what I ended up doing. I worked out on the farm painting and hauling bales and all sorts of things. Mm. Outside is a wonderful, and the exercise is a wonderful thing. Mm.
If you're just tuning in, my guest is Dr. Rick Holm, and his book is called Life's Final Season, A Guide for Aging and Dying with Grace. He's the host of On Call with a Prairie Doc. And Rick, let's talk about, since you've written so much and we've had so many conversations about life's final seasons, let's talk about life in a rural location and looking at some of those end-of-life issues and end-of-life care, especially when we have a nursing home crisis in this state.
We do have a nursing home crisis, and particularly in the smaller towns, we've got to push our legislators to do what they can to help save it. I mean, unfortunately, they've cranked down on the amount of payment that people get for being in the nursing home, and if you're running a nursing home, you have got to really struggle to be able to keep ends. To make ends meet. I think that the one of the advantages of being in rural South Dakota and being in Brookings, living in communities like Brookings, is that we have a primary care directive kind of care that's different than in the inner city, where people, all they see are the subspecialists. And when primary care, when people get primary care as their diabetes care, for example, been proven they do better with primary care directing diabetes, with the reference to an endocrinologist periodically, or with the reference to the subspecialist when needed. But primary care driven care, which is central to the way we treat people in South Dakota, provides a better care, and especially at the end of life, where I know this woman. She wouldn't have wanted to be kept alive with a feeding tube when she doesn't know her family, that she doesn't know who her grandchildren are, and their chances of recovering is going to be so poor. That this is the time to let go, and that can happen in smaller communities a lot easier sometimes than it can be in the big city and the ICUs and so on.
Dr. Rick Holm, thank you so much for being here with us today. We hope that the airport's open and the roads clear so you can make it home soon.
And the show is open tonight, Tom Dean, Kathy Dean. It's a rural show. It'll be great. Don't miss it. Huddle around that campfire on the TV set tonight and watch On Call with the Prairie Doc.